Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Ann Ortley's Weekly Weather. My name is Ann Ortley, and this is a rebroadcast, or, you know, another version, because it's not going to be exactly the same, of the show I broadcast on Sunday from Ithaca, New York, where I was on vacation, and which in the netherworld of the computers has been eaten up and spit out and played with by Blog Talk Radio, and they don't seem to be able to figure out how to get it back. So I'm doing another show, and of course, once I finish this show, they will get it back, but that's the way it works. So this is for the week of August 18th, 17th, although it's being broadcast on the 20th because the Blog Talk Radio ate my thing. and all of you are experiencing this too. Mars is approaching Saturn, so our work, Saturn, is being blocked, Mars, and frustrated, Mars. Mars, of course, and Saturn are enemies. They don't like each other. Saturn is the planet of building and growing and making, you know, keeping things and the karma and holding the structure. And, of course, Mars is action, and he rules war and violence when we blow up things and we get rid of things. So the two of them coming to meet in the sky, which they're doing this week, causes an enormous amount of frustration, makes people really in the mood to fight on a bad day, makes them feel like they're slogging up the hill, makes them have to do things twice, like the radio show, makes them press the button a bunch of times and see that the Blog Talk Radio is somehow going to July instead of August 17th, and, you know, just generally frustrates you. So we're redoing this show, so you're a little happier. This is a little moment of light in the week. And we're also going to talk about the aspects in the heavens and what to work with them, because we're really getting to the exciting conclusion this week. This weekend and next week we have a new moon and the Mars-Saturn meeting. So we start a new two-year cycle, which means we're ending a two-year cycle this week. So if you think back to August of 2012, memory banks returning, churning, August of 2012, that's when Mars and Saturn met in Libra. Now they meet in Scorpio. So this is now having spent 2 years of Saturn in Scorpio. Mars is going to turn to you and say, so what have you learned? What have you learned from Saturn about commitment and responsibility and taxes and inheritance and committing and being really in? You know, Scorpio wants us to commit and merge deeply. Saturn, of course, goes, I really don't want to merge quite that deeply. Thank you very much. Please. But this week, we are at a huge crossroads. You know, I've been writing about this in my column and talking about this on the radio show since last November. This is when it happens, people. This is when the rubber meets the road. So we're having a very big week this week around our choices and our decisions. In the sky, to help us make the decision, as usually happens, are some really interesting planetary configurations, most important of which is the one that involves the Mars and the Saturn, because those two guys are big. And if you remember on my radio show, and we've been talking for the last couple weeks about how Saturn and Uranus are in conjunct, and it's the structure blowing up. So on my website, I've had the dart making the balloon pop, and then the water hangs there for a second, and then it all falls apart. Well, this is the week when the balloon pops, because here comes Mars, which is, of course, a dart, coming to join Saturn, who's the structure, and then we're going to have the explosion. Now, the other thing that's happening is Mercury is in Virgo now, so he is forming another leg. He's forming a leg, actually, of this configuration and making it go from just the inconjunct of Uranus and Saturn. It's turning it into a finger of God. With Uranus, the planet of explosions, chaos, change, in fire, martial, military energy, on the south node of destiny. Now, you know, when planets are on the nodes of destiny, they represent turning points for us, directions we can take. When they're on the south node, it usually involves a loss, because the south node is also called the dragon's tail, or K2, and it is the wasting part of the nodes, meaning it's the elimination system. Now, there's theories on nodes. Some people go, no, you never do your south node. My theory is with nodes, everybody, this is one of the controversial areas in astrology. What a node is a sensitive point where the sun and the moon meet every day, and they leave each other love notes on this little point. So it's a highly sensitive point, and it represents where your ego meets your emotions. The sun in this life is what you're supposed to do. The moon in this life is what you did in the last life, and also emotionally how you satisfy yourself. So we look at your moon, and we say that was what your sun was in the last life. And then the sun in this life is what you're trying to figure out how to do. The relationship between those two, the emotional sustenance of your body and yourself and your soul's memory, as represented by the moon, comes in, and its job is to talk to the sun and to help the sun realize what it's going to do. The place they talk every day is that node, that south node and the north node. So the south node is where the moon says, oh, we shouldn't do this anymore. And the sun goes, you're right, we shouldn't do that anymore. And the north node is where the sun and the moon go, okay, this is the plan, this is what we're going to do. So when planets hit the south node, like they are now, or aspect the south node, like the finger of God is, we represent a time where we're supposed to let go of something we're not supposed to do anymore. Now, sometimes this is not something we're ready to let go of. Other times we're like totally cool. We're completely clear. In my case, I'm completely clear that every time I eat gluten, I cough like a crazy person. So I should just let it go. And, you know, 99.9% of the time I have. And last summer, two summers ago, when Mars and Saturn met in Libra, I was arguing with people that the gluten really didn't make me cough, right? So now after 2 years of watching it make me cough, I'm like, okay, gluten really makes me cough. And I've really largely given it up. But that's the two-year journey that I took after arguing for a summer that no, that wasn't the case, right? But I'm an Aquarius rising and I'm argumentative. So we're recognizing we have to let something go this week. And if we don't recognize we have to let it go, it may just leave on its own anyway. Because Uranus on the south node is receiving the energy from Mercury and Saturn, and now Mars is coming into the story to kind of punch Saturn. So whatever Saturn's been holding on to, he's going to let go of, because Mars is coming along to have a fight with him. So Saturn's been trying to maintain the structure, and here comes Mars to pick a fight with him and make Saturn break the structure or drop the structure or stop paying attention long enough for Mercury and Uranus to change things. Into the south node the energy goes. The magic of releasing. South node is in Aries, which answers to Mars, right? Mars coming to Saturn. Mars is ruling Saturn. So this is a big old configuration about you changing psychologically in a very deep and profound way and being set free. That's the ultimate version of it, walk away down the road. Now, when it happens, you may go, you know, this kind of thing really just doesn't work for me anymore. And you may not look at it as a positive experience when it's going down. But ultimately, a little distance and a little backward hindsight, you know, that whole hindsight's 20/20, you'll go, you know, it actually was a good thing that happened. Okay, got it. And you'll feel much more comfortable with the outcome. So whatever leaves this week, it's really time for it to go. It has held on and held on and held on, and you've been talking about it and you've been thinking about it and you've been whatever, and the moment is now. And if you've got a clear vision of where you're going, and you know you're getting married, you know you're moving in, you know you're moving to California, you know you're moving to San Francisco, you know you're moving to New York City, you know, this is a great week to go, okay, forward ahead, this is the plan, let's get this baby out the door. Because it's an excellent energy to release something positive, too. So it's very good on both levels. But, because it is the south node and because it is Uranus and because people really don't like change and because there's just a heck of a lot of really difficult energy up there right now, you might not feel great about it. But your job is to go, this is a necessary component of the transformation process I'm going through, and this is the moment it happens. And we've been talking about this since November. So now it's here. And our job is to ride through it and say, okay, what are we going to do? In addition to the finger of God with Uranus on the south node, there are two other fingers of God. There's a finger of God with Jupiter as the apex, of Pluto and Neptune. And this is the dream. Now, the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about Jupiter as going through the Leo house and asking you where you want to shine. And whatever Leo house, whatever house is ruled by Leo in your chart, or houses, usually it's two, those are areas where you want to shine and you want to do your work, whatever your sun is described as being. So now with Jupiter as the apex of the finger of God, receiving the energy from Pluto and Neptune as the legs, we have an opportunity to create the dream, right? And Jupiter, of course, is the planet of relating. It's a generational planet. Everybody born in the same year has the same Jupiter. This corresponds to the Chinese year of the dog, year of the pig, whatever. I had one of my favorite people over, Carol, the other day, and she was going, we were talking about my foot surgery because I hadn't seen her since I broke my foot, and she figured out that the doctor was a monkey, you know, from his chart. And she goes, and that explains why he picked the scabs off your feet, because he's a monkey. He was grooming you. And I'm like, that totally makes sense. And, of course, monkeys are very smart and very facile with their fingers, you know, able to really do things. And he operated on my foot, quite unlike all the other Lisfranc operations that are on the Internet. I want to warn you people, don't have a surgery and then go look up what it looks like on the Internet. Very bad. But he did a different kind on my foot, which worked. My foot is really happy and healthy, and I wore flip-flops all weekend, so I'm really feeling like almost back to Ann. Got pedicure, got flip-flops. But at any rate, so the Jupiter is where you are, what your sign is. In your Chinese astrology, that's the monkey, the horse, the pig, the rabbit, whatever you are. So Jupiter, talking to Pluto and Neptune, is saying, what's the dream, Neptune, Pluto, that you want to transform your life with? What's the new 12-year commitment? What's the commitment to create? What are we creating for the next 12 years? Now, if you're 90, you still get to make a dream because, you know, Jupiter's in Leo, and he's saying, what's the dream? You may not make it full 12 years, but that's okay. This is a commitment to the dream. The other aspect that's happening, the other finger of God that's happening this week, is Neptune as the apex of Jupiter and Pallas Athena, all right? Now, Pallas Athena, she's our smart girl, you know. She's where we're all very strategic and intelligent. Pallas Athena right now is in Libra, and she is sextiling Jupiter, and then they're shooting the energy over to Neptune. And they're saying to Neptune in Pisces, what's the dream? Again, the dream, the dream, the dream. Now, in Pisces, in this case, of course, Neptune entered Pisces in February of 2012. Oh, we're hearing the same theme, Mars and Saturn, February there. And when Neptune enters the sign, she stays in it for 14 years. And when I was in Ithaca this weekend, my friend had, like, everything in the world on her TV, but it wasn't through the TV. It was through this little Apple box. So she could watch Hulu and all the channels and all these. I mean, it was like pull up a movie, anything you wanted, it was there. We could find it. It was pretty mind-boggling. And I remember having a conversation with my client, Ed, who is a film guy and works in entertainment. And he one time went through all the different times Neptune changed signs and the impact that it made on the film industry. And he said, as Neptune goes into Pisces, the entire film industry is going to be reimagined. And in essence, it has been. We have web TV now where people start a webinar on a web series. We have all different delivery systems. It's totally going to upend the movie channel business. Not going to take away movies forever, but it is going to modify and change them over the next 14 years. So Neptune talking to, in a finger of God aspect, and talking to Jupiter and Pallas is asking you, Pallas, of course, is how do you want to partner with? And she's in Libra, which is her favorite sign, very strategic when she's in that. And she's answering to Venus and Leo, which is very much about partnering, because she's in Libra, answering to Venus. I know I went a little fast there. Answering you, asking you, what do you love? What do you want to create that you love? What's your dream? You know, and you may find, you know, you do your dream and you go, you know, I don't know that that's my dream anymore. That's totally okay. You know, you can change your dream. Or, you know, I got my dream. Now what? You know, I have one of my clients is going, I don't know what my new dream is. I'm like, I don't either. I can't tell you what your dream is. I don't have a vision. I know you don't have a vision. I can see that in your chart. But the dream is coming. So sometimes it's, you know, you don't have a dream. What you do then is you go back and you play. You go back and you spend time with Neptune. You go hang out in Neptune's land. You do things that he likes to do. Right now he's in Pisces, so it can be spending time on the beach, spending time in the water, spending time meditating, spending time sleeping and dreaming. Look at natal Neptune, see what he's doing, and do that. You know, do whatever that Neptune energy is by sign and by house. Play with your Neptune. We don't play enough. We don't create enough. We don't allow our, you know, we have this whole busy life full of stuff, run around, no time for anything, you know, run from pillar to post, getting everything done. Take some time, play with your Neptune if you don't have a vision. Go back and do what you used to love to do. Paint, dance, sing, play the piano, whatever. Don't judge it, you know, because you haven't practiced in years, you can't play the piano anymore. But go back to the tasks or back to the experiences that brought you Neptunian joy. Of course, lower form Neptune, drug and alcohol, be very careful with all this energy in the sky involving Neptune. We can have a lot of drug and alcohol issues. We can slip down the slippery slope into depression. And we also can pick up again if we have given up the alcohol because Neptune is really inviting us to try his magic again. And that's a lot of times why artists have drug and alcohol problems is they have a very strong Neptune. We all have a Neptune in our chart. So watching Neptune, and of course Robin Williams killing himself, very strong Neptune, very strong imaginal world, meaning the guy would, you know, amazingly shift from one to the next to the other. And they would completely, it would completely change. He lived in the world of imagination. His moon in Pisces was on his north node, so in the fourth house. So he just, the imaginal world had to be amazing for him. But also, the Neptunian world, you know, when he was talking about, like, the liquor calling him and going, come on over, have a drink, you can do it. That's Neptune, too. So we want to watch the Neptune very, very strong this week. With those three fingers of God, the one with Uranus as the apex and the legs being Mars and Saturn joining next Monday and Mercury in Virgo, you can hear some critical words that make you go, ouch. So that's the other way that it can show up. With the Jupiter in Leo talking to Pluto and Neptune, they are really, it's really about where do you want to spend your next 12 years. And with the Neptune getting the feed from Jupiter and Pallas Athena, it's saying, I've been in Pisces for 2 years. You people have to give me your dream so I can get working on it. So take the Jupiter and the Pallas and talk to Neptune about the dream. In the sky, there also is a big old grand cross. Crosses make us feel like we're running around a lot and we're caught, torn between things, which we are. There's also a few grand trines. There's a grand trine in fire, and there's a grand trine in water. There's actually two grand trines in water. So watch for those. Water grand trines make us very emotional, very sensitive, deeply feeling. Fire grand trines make us pissy, prickly, sparky, in the mood to, like, light a fire. You know, fire grand trines just feed the fire. So fire energy can really get out. Passions can really get out of control. So just know, grand trine and fire. Now, fire and water together make steam. They make things boil. They also make things a little foggy on a bad day. Think of your bathroom mirror after a nice hot shower. Lots of energy between fire and water, okay? There's also a mystic rectangle. What mystic rectangles do is, this is all for your soul's purpose. So sometimes we have crappy aspects in the sky, and there's no spiritual reason, it's just a bad day, you know. Other times, there's a mystic rectangle that invites us, asks us, encourages us to look at it from a spiritual perspective. And with all these hard planets, you know, malefics all, we have three malefics, Uranus, Mars, and Saturn, together, and Mercury, of course, hanging out with them. Now, Mercury's one of those guys that he can go either way. You know, when he hangs out with the good guys, he's good. When he hangs out with the bad guys, not so good. So we know it's a malefic delivery system, meaning it's not always a pleasant way we're going to get the energy. However, in hindsight, we're going to look back and say it was a turning point. It really was a good thing, okay? And I know when I look at my chart when I've had these big turning points and go through them, and sometimes you go, man, that really was bad. But it was a major turning point in my life, in hindsight, and that's what this week is. So it is also with Mars, Saturn, and Uranus, and Mercury, big departure week. Don Pardo, who was the announcer on Saturday Night Live for 40 years, died at 96. We can anticipate pets and animals because Mercury is involved. Mercury rules pets. We can anticipate siblings, people that are neighbors and friends, and, of course, Saturn, Mars, old people that are kind of hanging on and not doing well, and, of course, depression because Saturn rules depression. It's in conjunct to Uranus. So the force of will on this is very strong. So do make sure to check in on the people that you know are depressed, because this is a week when a simple phone call can keep them maybe from leaving. And somebody wrote me, because I wrote in my column last Sunday, you know, Michael, which is when Robin Williams killed himself, I said, make sure to call and reach those people that are really having a bad day. And one woman wrote to me and said, I did. I called my friend, and she was really bereft, and by the end of it, we were laughing, and I don't know that she was going to kill herself, but I know she was thinking about it. So reach out. These are really important weeks to connect with the people that you love and tell them so that they know that, and also to tell them it's a transit. It'll be over next week. We'll all feel much better. But this week is hard. It's kind of a hard week. Okay, so let's do the moons. The moon is in Gemini on Monday and Tuesday. Busy, 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 busy. And how many times did you push the Blog Talk Radio and try and hear the thing play? And how many times did Blog Talk Radio write me and say, we're working on it. We don't know what happened. You recorded fine, but in the conversion to the MP3, it doesn't... Whatever. We're re-recording. Tuesday, the moon is in Gemini, going void with the sextile to the sun. So my comment to Rose was, well, if it doesn't get fixed by Tuesday, I'm going to re-record on Wednesday. So here we are re-recording. Moon's in Cancer, serving a need emotionally, and it goes void with a lovely trine to Saturn tomorrow afternoon around 3:30, Thursday afternoon. So your job today and tomorrow is emotional processing, lots of emotions, lots of feelings, and very strong feelings. And then on Friday, the moon is void all day, Thursday afternoon, Thursday night, and then on Friday, it is void all day long. And it goes into Leo on Friday afternoon around 4:49 p.m. It's in Leo Friday night, Saturday, and all day Sunday. The problem with the moon in Leo is it's squaring the sun, meaning you're not going to get what you want. Moon in Leo says, this is what I want, and Saturn goes, no. and it doesn't really matter. We're not giving it to you. You can't get it, and you're not going to get it. And you really get the no, and you might be a little crabby about the no. That really happens on Sunday. And Sunday's job is to process the no. To process the, you know, this isn't going to work, or maybe I need a new plan, or maybe I need to figure out something different because this isn't happening. The other thing that happens this week is that the sun goes into Virgo on Saturday for 30 days of work, productive work. We're back to school, back to the end of the summer vacation. You know, you go to Target, you go to the Staples, they all have, here's the back to school stuff. So we go back to school as of the 23rd. I know one more week in summer, but it starts that feeling of fall arriving. And then next week we have a rocking and rolling week because we have a new moon in Virgo. We also have a Venus square Saturn, and we also have the Mars Saturn completing. So we're feeling the tension. We're feeling the buildup. We're feeling the emotional intensity this week. Easy peasy, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I know, and it wasn't particularly easy, right? Yeah. So you know what's going to happen over the weekend. Moon in Leo, not fun, because Moon in Leo wants what it wants when it wants it, and Saturn and Mars saying no, Mercury saying I don't think so, Uranus is saying, well, if you don't give me my way, I'm going to take my ball and go home. The planets are pretty cranky. So our job is to know, when you have weeks like this, I always encourage people to spend extra time off calendar. You know, book lightly, because you're going to have a lot of stuff that wants to fit in. You're not going to have a lot of energy, because the Mars-Saturn makes you want to go to bed. And I bless Rose, because she sat here and goes, okay, so we're going to do the column. Okay, so we're going to do the radio show. Very nice and gently reminding me, yeah, you know, I really should get these back out there. Because your desire is to just disappear and not have to handle it, not have to deal with it. And you can feel a little dejected. So your job is to go, dejection's part of the picture right now. Doors are closing. Other doors will open. Changes are being made by everybody. Look at all the people in your life around you, the parents that have passed, the new apartment leases that are signed, the dog of 15 years that dies. You know, all these changes that are really markers in our life that really mark a moment that say, end of that life, beginning of new life. And we're at this transitional place where we're really working this transitional energy. And we've been talking about this since November. So part of the moment is to know, like some people have already been working on the changes. If you haven't up until now, now's when it really starts. Because the Mars conjunct Saturn next Monday starts a new two-year cycle. I'll be officially off gluten. You know, I'm acknowledging for all to hear, gluten and I do not get along. I may play with dairy for the next 2 years. It's kind of hard to give up the half and half in the morning coffee, but I do understand that that's part of the journey of me getting healthier is, you know, breaking my foot and lying around for the summer and thinking about things. So been a productive summer for me, too. So our job this week, should you decide to accept it, is to know that we're in this major change place. In addition to those changes that we already covered, the moon going into sun going into Virgo for 30 days, the sun also forms a very fast-moving hammer of Thor. Now, the sun is going to aspect Pluto, and then it's going to aspect Uranus at the end of the week. So it aspects Pluto on the 19th, and it aspects Uranus on the 24th. So the sun is the handle of the hammer of Thor. Now, we've talked about these hammers of Thor before. And what they are is two planets in square to each other, forming a stressful aspect to the ego, to the handle. So in this case, the sun in Leo is the ego. So as the sun rolls through that last those last few degrees of Leo, it forms a handle to the hammer, and it says to the hammer, okay, what do we need to knock out of the life? Uranus square Pluto. Now, we've been working with this Uranus square Pluto. We've had five of the seven squares. We have two more to go, one in December and one in next spring. That's when it's exact. But this little baby, they're up there next to each other, so they're not very far apart. So whenever a planet comes through, like the sun does this week, and Venus will be coming through there. Last week, Mercury went through. So we saw something or heard something that kind of shocked us. I think the reaction to Robin Williams' death was totally the Uranus-Saturn square, because Mercury was the apex, and it triggered his natal Mercury and Pluto conjunction in his chart. So everybody, you know, the on and on and on about him dying, and then giving us the end of, you know, giving us the end of the story. Oh, he had been recently diagnosed with a pretty nasty disease. Mercury aspects the nodes of destiny and invites you to meet new people on both the 18th and the 22nd. So make sure to take information and bring your business cards and actually maybe some extra ones. He is part of that finger of God. Normally Mercury is helpful when he's in Virgo. He will be helpful, but you may not like what he says. We also have Venus joining Jupiter on the 18th, starting a new one-year and a new 12-year cycle about your desire. See, now I could have spent a whole show on that, and it's just getting a mention at the end. You're coming up with your 12 years of love, new 12-year love cycle. Come on, we got to work on this, people, in addition to all this other stuff we're working on. And, of course, the finger of God with Venus is the apex. And then Mars, we talked about, he does trine Chiron on the 23rd, offering a wound healing, although it can be a little sensitive because, you know, it's sensitive. And then Neptune trines Juno, so you can get a partnership offer on the 20th. I know this is very fast. I run out of time. Half an hour is just not a lot of time. And Uranus is semi-sextile to Chiron, so there's a little bit of a blind that you're not going to see. And then last but not least, Hygieia is still out of bounds, so watch the Ebola thing. You know, I couldn't go through the whole show without mentioning Ebola at least once. And that's it. Next week, really busy, very fundamentally challenging energy, but this week you're making the decisions. That Mars approach to Saturn, very harsh. People are going to be fighting. Try to not fight. Try to be constructive. But you are going to find that whatever you say is probably going to be taken out of context, and people are just going to get angry. It's just that kind of week. So have a good one. Apologies for Blog Talk Radio playing with the radio show. Hopefully you found this rebroadcast helpful. And now, of course, that I've done it, they're actually going to figure out what the hell's going on with the links. But in the meantime, you now have the weekly weather a little late. Take care, and I will talk to you again on Sunday. Bye-bye.